It's time for Let's Talk Legal with your host, Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins from the law firm of Harvell & Collins. If you've got a legal question, they can give you the answer. Call now, 1-800-818-2255, and let's talk legal.
We've been talking of late about estates and estate planning, and Wes, Cecil, good morning to you.
Good morning, Lockwood.
Good morning,
how are
Lockwood?
You?
And very well. I'm staying out of trouble for the moment. But
that's good. That's good. We don't want you to have to call a lawyer.
Well, that,
heaven forbid.
Please.
Listen, Lockwood, last week we did talk about estate documents. We talked about the power of attorney, the health care proxy, of course, the last will and testament. One of the key provisions in any last will and testament for, of course, parents is the appointment of a guardian, the desire in their will, the precatory desire, if you will, that the following person be the guardian of their minor children. And, of course, you need to name such a person, and then you need some alternates, let's face it. Because particularly when your children are, you know, small, you need to appoint a person, and then you need to back that person up with one or two other people.
Right.
We always find that clients always know the first choice. It's the second and the third choice that sometimes they have to go home and talk about. But with that said, Lockwood, let's keep in mind that this is a provision in their will that should a guardian of their child, minor child, be necessary, then they hereby appoint this person. And the court, the law on this is that that person, the appointee, if you will, it's rare for them not to be appointed the legal guardian, but as we know, when it comes to children, it's always what is in the best interest of the children. And if it can be shown for some reason that this particular guardian is not fit for the duty, then, of course, you know, the court is going to intervene and appoint someone that they think would be, again, in the best interest of the children. So this is one of these provisions in the will that, although it's absolutely critical and it's rare for it not to be followed. Again, we have to keep in mind that there's a public policy argument that to protect our minor children, and always that's going to be within the auspices of the court.
I've got some questions I want to ask real quickly about guardians. Can you have such a thing? And also want to ask, how does this relate an issue of trusts and the whole fiduciary activity? But can you have such a thing as co-guardians? Co-guardianship?
Yeah, you can. You can certainly have co-guardians. You can have the primary guardian, then a successor guardian in the event that there's, you know, the first one has passed away. But going back to the issue with regard to, you know, the will, if you've got minor children and you don't have a will and, you know, you pass away, and then you're in a situation where the court is really trying to guess as to what's in the best interest of the child. Now, usually if one of the parents is living, then obviously that's going to be the custodian or guardian of the child. But we're more concerned about a situation where if both, you know, mom and dad pass away and then we have a minor child and we don't have a designation in a will or in any other type of writing, then the court has nothing to go on as it relates to what your intent, the parent's intent, would be for the guardian of that child. And that's, you know, that's just a huge issue. It's such a simple thing to address in a will. But the ramifications of not doing that could be so dire, because you potentially set up a storm for, you know, the in-laws or the extended family to have, you know, a fight over who's making decisions with regard to potentially even, you know, assets, where the child lives, where the child goes to school, where the child goes to church, you know, who makes all of the decisions for the respective child. Yeah. So that's it's such a very important thing. And it hits close to home for me because I have young children. And, you know, we see these things.
You know, begs the comment. We think of wills insofar as the distribution of assets. Well, when I get to that point in my life where I'm going to have enough assets, I'll go ahead and create a will. What you're telling us is, boy, if you're a young family, it is absolutely critical that you have a will. Right. It should be absolutely, you should be licensed in order to have children. You've got to have a will.
This is just so very true, yeah. Lockwood. And we see this, you know, where the rubber hits the road all the time.
Wow.
You know, folks 50, 60, 70, mm-hmm. their children are grown. Everything is, you know, copacetic. I mean, great. Yeah, we need a will. But man, oh man, you know, you 20 and 30 year olds and young 40 year olds out there with minor children, you absolutely, you know, need a will, because your will is going to not only set forth who the guardian is, it's going to set up a trust mm-hmm. for these children, which of course you were alluding to, Lockwood. Now let's talk.
A good will is going to set up a trust.
Absolutely.
Not every will.
A good will.
Not every will.
That's right. That's. Thank you.
But if there's minor children, you know, a decent attorney is going to recognize that and put
yes.
a trust in it, because otherwise the funds go directly to be held, you know, for the by the clerk of court until the child turns of majority age, and that's not something that we want to happen.
No.
We want more control. We want a family member, you know, to be the trustee to oversee that.
So now what begins to happen, Lockwood, in the conferences about this goodwill and this well-drafted last will and testament is the appointment of these fiduciaries. You know, you have an executor, you have a trustee of the trust for the minor children, and then you have a guardian. And then the question always comes up, well, you know, do I have a person in my world that can be an executor, be a trustee of a trust for my minor children, and also serve as the legal guardian for my child?
Okay.
And if you do, then, hey, bless your heart. You're a lucky person, and that's wonderful. And many people do. But it is not required, Lockwood, that this hat, if you will, these hats, this executor hat, trustee hat, guardian hat, all be worn by the same person. Many times the mother will turn to Wes and myself and she will say, well, now I really want my sister to be the guardian of my children. She's the nurturer. She's the one that's going to see that they get to school on time, go through their homework with them, all of those kinds of those wonderful nurturing issues. But in terms of the money, you know, I really want, you know, my brother up in Philadelphia, who's a CPA, to be in charge of the money, if you will. He needs to be the trustee, okay? So that is fine. If those are the facts of your family, then Wes and I are going to be able to mold your document to fit those facts. But again, you do need to look at what the responsibilities are of these folks. I mean, the guardian, as Wes was mentioning, is a nurturer. You know, get me to the church on time,
okay.
to school on time, go through my homework, register me for the intramural sports, all of the things that we as parents do. The trustee, on the other hand, really is a money person.
Okay.
Okay? So, we need to think about the duties and then fill in the names that best fit those duties.
Now, for example, for a trustee, you could name a bank or a bank representative,
you could.
A financial representative. I say a bank, but sure. someone who's, if you don't have anyone in the family, it's not unusual, am I thinking correctly, for the trustee to have no family relationship. It's sort of the business side of the
estate. It is.
Estate.
I mean,
is that the right description?
It's a personal preference. I would say that most folks look toward their family first. And in the event that there's not someone, you know, who can serve or they necessarily trust to serve in that role or has the makeup, you know, the acumen to the expertise to serve as a trustee, then, you know, sometimes we look at then professionals, whether it be a bank or whether it be even, you know, maybe even your CPA,
mm-hmm.
A distant choice. We don't want to do it, but sometimes your attorney, you know, if there's nobody else to do it, those kind of things. So it doesn't have to be family, but typically folks look to the family. So, you know, we're talking here about, I think, obviously, young children type
right,
issues
right.
here, minor type issues, and we've identified a need of in the will indicating who we want the guardian to be
mm-hmm.
in the event, you know, of a death of mom and dad, so that who's making those decisions for the child, so on and so forth. But another very important issue here that kind of dovetails into this issue is the life insurance issue. You know, if you were if you're young, you have young kids, and even if you're not young and you have young kids, it's important to have life insurance put in place, because especially if you're the breadwinner and you're the one who's, you know, paying the bills, or maybe want them to go to college and you're saving for that and you pass away, well, someone has to replace that. And, you know, the way that works up in our world is that, you know, term life insurance is cheap.
Right.
If you're young, you get older, it's more expensive. So most folks, even, you know, in their 20s or 30s, can afford some term life insurance for their kids. But then a huge question with regard to that, Lockwood, is who are the beneficiaries?
Right.
Okay. If you've named your spouse the beneficiary and the spouse dies, then have you thought ahead and named this trust the successor beneficiary? Or are we out of, or do the assets then pass into the estate and then are being held, you know, by the clerk of court? So we can talk more about that. I think we're going to a break now, but we can talk about that.
We're talking with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins with Let's Talk Legal. We're talking about the issue of wills. And my eyes went wide open when we're talking about minors. This is as much a conversation for young parents, not just for those people who have quote-unquote assets. If they have children, they have responsibility. We're talking wills and setting up, the guardianship, executor, the responsibility of executors and trustees with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins here on Let's Talk Legal. And by the way, haven't even given out the number, but by now everyone's got it on speed dial anyhow. 800-818-2255, 910 area code 353-4674, and 252 area code 247-7282. Or you can call them directly at their office, 726-9050. That's 726-9050. 9050 Harvell and Collins, and the right advice at the right time. Let's talk about we went to the break and you were talking about the issue of life insurance.
Right. The life insurance, you know, issue with regard to having a trust for the minor child and making sure that your beneficiary designations and your life insurance are consistent with really the other side of your estate plan is very important. So let me see if I can break this down to very simple issues that people can follow. I think most of us know that, you know, life insurance is going to pass pursuant to the terms of your beneficiary designation.
Right.
That's like a contract. It's like when you go and you buy your life insurance agent asks you, who's your beneficiary? Usually it would be a spouse and then potentially your kids, something like that. Could be a parent involved there potentially. So we understand that it doesn't matter what your will says with regard to your estate, when it relates to life insurance. The will does not control life insurance. Life insurance is controlled by the contract and the beneficiary designation as it relates to where it passes. So if you've done good, prudent estate planning and you have the will in place that we've been talking about, if you have a minor, and in your will, you have that trust for a minor, you have a child, and you also have that guardianship provision that's, you know, so very important that we've just talked about, then what you want to do is you want to have your life insurance pass probably to your spouse, and then in the event that your spouse predeceases you, it then, by operation of your beneficiary designation, under what you've written down, number one is the spouse, and then number two is the, you know, the John Doe revocable trust dated, you know, July 8, 2014, or whatever the trust is, or the testamentary trust in your will. You just want to make sure you dovetail that, because in the event that, you know, husband and wife pass away and that life insurance pays, well, we want it to pay to the right place. Gotcha. And if really our intent is for it to pass to the minor child for their benefit, then we've set that up in our trust. We've got all that set up, but that doesn't get funded unless it either passes into the estate and then goes into the trust or directly to the trust.
And that has to be taken care of in the establishment of your life insurance policy. That has to be designated in the policy itself.
That's correct.
There are no assumptions here.
That's correct.
Okay.
Right.
All right.
Now, I mean, if you have your spouse first and then no successor, then if, depending on how your will is written, that life insurance could pass into your estate and then fund the trust. Now, we're getting kind of complicated now, but if you have, I want the life insurance to go to my spouse first. If my spouse predeceases, then to my kids, it doesn't go into your estate. It goes to the kids.
Uh-huh.
Okay. And then our trust never gets funded. So,
and that, it's just and that can be a tax issue too, can it not?
Potentially. But we see that more than I would like to see it anyway, where you've got one side of the house not communicating with the other side of the house. You got the great estate plan put in place, but then the client goes out and takes care of the life insurance on their own and doesn't really dot the I's and cross the T's.
Lockwood, we've mentioned this concept in many different forms. Here at Let's Talk Legal over and over and over again, which is basically the coordination of your last will and testament with your beneficiary designations. And beneficiary designations is a broad concept. It includes not only life insurance, but IRAs, 401ks, annuities, these joint accounts with right of survivorship at the banks, these time on death accounts, these payable on death accounts. You know, it's just become a minefield out there in terms of the way in which accounts can be registered so that they do not, in fact, follow the terms of the will. You know, if you have an account at a bank joint with right of survivorship, or you have a stock account that is TOD or POD, time on death, payable on death, let's keep in mind that that contract designation that you've made with the stock company or with the bank is going to trump the last will and testament. And the assets are going to go according to the designation of the contract. So Wes and I find ourselves almost every file now that I do in our office, everyone without exception, there is the preparation of the documents. And then there is a distinct conversation, usually over more than one occasion, about the way in which different things are titled and or the way in which things are designated as to different beneficiaries on all of these kinds of accounts. Oh. We have to coordinate the two.
We're talking with Wes Collins and Cecil Harvell. Let's Talk Legal, the right advice at the right time. And for folks who don't have a will and testament, last will and testament, the right time is right now. That number, by the way, if you'd like to get more information from them, 726-9050, 726-9050. I got a quick question before we go to the break. Well, as we go to the break, what's the role of the executor? As we wrap things up here this morning with Let's Talk Legal with Cecil Harvell and Wes Collins, we're talking about last will and testaments. And I did ask that question at the break. Mm-hmm. What is the role of the executor? You've got three hats,
yep.
The trustee, the guardian, and the executor.
Right. Well, the executor is the appointed person under the will that is going to marshal together the assets, organize the assets, okay, be they real property, membership interest in LLCs, closely held corporate stock, stocks and bonds with some sort of stock investment company, bank accounts, cars, organize the assets. Then, of course, pay the last bills and debts of the deceased. See that the tax filings are appropriately filed, be that just the last 1040 or potentially in some estates we have, you know, an estate tax return. Some estates we have an income for the estate return, mm-hmm. called a fiduciary return or an executor's income tax return.
Right.
All of those tax filings need to be filed. And then, of course, following the terms of the will and distributing the assets according to the terms of the will. Now, those are the duties of the executor in a nutshell. And what I think needs to be said at this point is that it's then nice if that person can also then serve as the trustee, because Therefore, they're already in the loop. They're already in the information loop, Lockwood. It makes perfect sense if we stop for a moment and think about it. If you name one person as executor, person A, and then you name person X as the trustee, they've got to figure it all out again. Well, what has been paid? What assets do we have? What's the value of these things? Where are they located? Well, they're redoing the work in many ways of the executor. So we lead our clients many times to a place where the executor and the trustee are the same person. The guardian, again, a whole nother job description. That's the nurturer in the family, not necessarily the financial person.
Right. And also, by having a third party, if you will, it keeps all the documentation clean.
Yes, it does. The executor and the trustee are many times the same person. They are, in fact, fiduciaries. They have an obligation to handle the assets with due diligence and the utmost of care. The process varies greatly, Lockwood. Some estates, as we know, are very, very simple.
Right.
Very straightforward, particularly as between a husband and a wife in the state of North Carolina. Those tend to be very straightforward, unless, of course, they're large estates and we're needing to fund a trust for some reason, for estate tax purposes. When assets are passing to the next generation, and there is no mother and father, and they both now, we have the second to die, maybe dad goes first and then mom goes a few days later and assets are passing to the next generation. That is usually a more involved estate.
All right. And, of course, for more information and for the right advice at the right time, Harvell and Collins. And, by the way, the phone number, 252 area code 726-9050, 1107 Bridges Street in Morehead City. HarvellandCollins.com is their website, HarvellandCollins.com.